Welcome to PMA Takes on Tech, the podcast that explores the problems, solutions, people, and ideas that are shaping the future of the produce industry. I'm your host, Bonnie Estes, Vice President of Technology for the Produce Marketing Association, and I've spent years in the ag tech sector. So I can attest, it's hard to navigate this ever-changing world in developing and adopting new solutions to industry problems. Thanks for joining us and for allowing us to serve as your guide to the new world of produce and technology. My goal of the podcast is to outline a problem in the produce industry and then discuss several possible solutions that can be deployed today. This season of PMA Takes on Tech is brought to you by Plenty. Plenty is an indoor vertical farm that sustainably grows produce using less water and land than traditional farming and no pesticides or GMOs. The farm is able to grow peak season, flavorful food year-round and deliver fresh produce to its retail partners daily. Plenty's proprietary towers and intelligent platform make it the only vertical farm that can grow multiple crops with consistently superior flavors and yield. Hello, we have a great episode for you all on AeroFarms. Roger Bulow, CTO, and Stacy Kimmel, VP of R&D, dig deep into the origin story of AeroFarms and its culture. They talk about the company's beginning at a kitchen table at a nightclub in New Jersey to building the largest R&D indoor vertical farm in UAE and the new farm expansion to Virginia. We talk a lot about the partnerships and collaborations AeroFarms is in that allows for the company to move more quickly using the knowledge and technology of their partners. Let's jump into the conversation with Roger and Stacy. So welcome, Roger and Stacy. I'm so glad to have you guys here and excited to hear about AeroFarms. So why don't we start with you, Stacy, and just give us a little bit of your background and your role at AeroFarms.
Sure. Thanks. And I'm really happy to be here as well. A little bit about me. I am a food scientist by education, which is a little bit unusual in a farming company. But I have been working in the food industry for 23 years, leading product development, technology innovation for Fortune 500 CPG companies. All food companies have agriculture related aspects to them. So while I wasn't working in farming per se, we were procuring and working very directly with agriculture ingredients. So there is a strong connection there, certainly also around the commercialization aspects of what I do, which I'll cover in a bit. But I worked for the Campbell Soup Company and McCormick & Company before coming to AeroFarms. I've been at AeroFarms for about 2 years now. So at AeroFarms, I lead a team of plant scientists, molecular biologists, growers, data scientists, and research assistants. So my role really encompasses three areas. I like to think about it that way. Commercialization of new products and improving leafy greens so that we're bringing better value to our consumers and our company as we build new farms. We also spend time on new technologies and new categories beyond leafy greens. And we'll get into that a little bit with partnerships. That tends to be where the partnerships come in a lot of times, is around items other than leafy greens. We also as a leader of an R&D team, it's my responsibility, I believe, to strengthen our capabilities as an R&D organization. So I'm responsible for developing my team professionally and bringing to them the latest technology in our facilities, both in Newark and in the UAE, which we'll cover in a little bit as well. There's a lot of exciting things happening there.
So how many people do you have on your team in R&D?
I have 18 people.
Great. Fabulous. Well, I think that's a really interesting background and kind of bringing the whole food space, you know, into growing the types of products that you guys are producing. It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Roger, why don't we move into your background and your role, and then we can start talking, and maybe you can start talking a little bit about AeroFarms' overview and kind of history as well. It'd be great to hear all that.
Sure, that'd be great. When I start talking about my career, We'll start with talking about high efficiency lights. And then pretty much the second act of my career has been in and around aero farms. So it'll be natural to kind of weave in some of the history of aero farms when we get to that point. So like I said, my career has been one centered around high efficiency. And I grew up in the auto industry in Detroit, and then worked at GE Lighting and made the most efficient lights there. That turned into an opportunity to go into the startup world with a company that was eventually called Energy Focus, where I served as the CTO and made very high efficiency lights for commercial buildings, made the most efficient lights for the U.S. military, and then also the most efficient solar cells for the U.S. military. And so it was been a career where would bring together 10 to 20 scientists or engineers to really push the limits, break the records of high efficiency lights, high efficiency solar. And now I get to work on what's the most efficient way to grow high flavor plants and highly nutritious plants. So at the same time, I was supplying the US Navy with lights out the front door, I like to say, I was helping out aero farms out the back door. So we had an investor that invested both in Energy Focus and in aero farms. That investor brought me and Ed Harwood, one of our founders, together in 2009. And that's when I started helping out aero farms. And so sometimes that meant driving to Ithaca, New York to help Ed out in person. A lot of times it meant pushing LED lights out the back door to help improve the overall efficiency of aero farms growing systems. At that time, aero farms was selling farms. So now to kind of weave in how this matches up with aero farms history. Aero farms started with Ed Harwood was part of it, started a company called Aero Farms, where he was finding a way to grow aeroponically, different than hydroponically. Dr. Harwood had been the CEO of dairy equipment companies, and at the time he was working in extension services out of Cornell. He saw people growing hydroponically and thought that maybe there's a better way. And so he started to live the American inventor story, where you're on your kitchen table and you're figuring out different ways to make an aeroponic mist. And now you're taking over your whole dining room. And then he took over his garage. And
this was like in 2010 or so, or when was this?
This would be like 2004, 2005.
Oh, wow. So really early, like no one was even thinking about this stuff. That's
oh, yeah. Ed was definitely a trailblazer. And somewhere around 2009, Ed and I met up. At that point, he had a facility outside of his house. And sometimes he had some employees that were working with him. Sometimes it was just him. On one day, it was just him, but he was trapped under the machine and he was just waiting for his wife to realize that he had to go home. She would come and rescue him. But there's the American inventor story. It is a lot of creativity and a lot of finding what's the right application and what's the right answer to a whole new field. And at that time, what Ed was focused on was creating the aeroponic mist and different ways to deliver the nutrient solutions. And in 2009, on the day that we met, we worked out on a literal napkin the efficiency of LEDs and how by 2017, the world could be our oyster if we marched along a particular efficiency curve. We did. Between 2009 and 2017, we did march on that curve. And that helped us to start shipping to all the places we ship today. But that's jumping too far ahead. I have to go back to 2009 because at around that time, our other two co-founders, Mark Oshima and David Rosenberg, they had a company called Just Greens, and their company and Ed's company merged together to become Just Greens, doing business as Aero Farms. And so we switched back and forth between which brand we're using different times, but most people know us as Aero Farms. And David and Mark brought a view of going large with AeroFarm. So instead of selling the farms like Ed had been doing up until that point, their point was, well, let's sell the produce. And part of the reason was that that we needed to control our own destiny from an operations point of view, because we were still inventing how these systems go together. We were still inventing what kind of data we wanted to collect, and working out what really worked the best in terms of our different algorithms. I joined up as as an employee in 2014. Things had gone far enough with AeroFarms. I'd done as much as I could as a friend and as an advisor, and signed up to help go to the next level. There was about 8 of us at that time. And we were operating out of a converted nightclub, really, in Newark. And so 8 of us sat on the mezzanine of the nightclub, and we looked down as we were onto the floor of the nightclub where we were building up the next generation of the farms. And at that point now, instead of the American inventor story, we were living the venture-backed company story. And so that meant every year, a year and a half, deciding what risk we wanted to reduce and putting together a plan and a focused effort to handle that, raising money to achieve that. And if we had reduced the risk and if we had moved the company forward, a plan to raise the next round. And that's worked really well for us. So at that converted nightclub, we doubled our yields, and that was enough for us to be able to reduce a certain amount of risk and open up a pilot facility. And at that pilot facility, then we boosted our yields again, and we showed that we could hit all of our food safety metrics and third-party certifications. We showed that people were willing to pay the price that we expected for our product. And we showed that we could hit the yields using a staff of farm workers that we were training up in a way that could be repeatable going forward. We raised another round of money, and we set up our first production facility, still in Newark, New Jersey. And that's what if you see videos of AeroFarms online, that's where you're looking, you're peeking into. You're taking a look at our facility at 212 Rome Street and seeing how we are producing baby leafy greens and microgreens every day of the week. And in a system that is, yes, it's the third generation along of our grow towers. But a lot of those videos that you see are 4 or 5 years old, and we've progressed quite a bit since then as we're heading into the future. So I'll point out, like, since those days in the nightclub, our efficiency has gone up by about a factor of 6 to 8 in terms of yields and energy inputs. I think 8 probably is a fair number. And we're not done. So we're still today, still concentrating on how we can do things more efficiently. Still today, we're concentrating on how we can make our plants happier and healthier, and marching along really in a path that Ed Harwood set out in 2004. I'm proud to be able to continue on with some of the legacy that Ed had laid out for us.
Great. Thank you. That is such a great origin story. I was heard a story that Bruce Taylor of Taylor Farms told just a couple of days ago. He was talking about the first time he visited AeroFarms was in that nightclub. And he said, I go into this place and the disco ball is still up. Yeah. So it's a really great story.
One of our buildings, we still have, it's primarily a research facility, but we still have a lot of the original paint and decoration from a paintball court. So there's all this crazy graffiti looking stuff all over the wall. And we were I was talking to my team a few weeks ago, and we're putting in a upgrading a space there to be a little bit more like a laboratory space so that we can do some different types of bench work there. And I said, well, do you want to paint the room? And they said, well, I don't know. You know, there's like good mojo here with this. So I don't know if we should paint the room. And I said, well, on it and we can decide if we want to paint the room. But, you know, there is something to some of the aspects of where we work that I think people are, you know, they're really feel close to the company, I think, because of its roots and the buildings that we work in. They share just by walking into them that history. All you have to do is look around and you can see a little bit about what Roger was talking about without even ever hearing the story. So we'll see if we paint. I'll keep it
yeah, posted. Keep me posted on that. Stacey, let's continue with you on just looking at R&D capabilities. So
sure.
What I hear about AeroFarm so much is just how much R&D that you're doing and your facilities and what you're working on. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we essentially have in Newark a fully controlled smart farm. You know, within our grow towers, we use aeroponic technology. I think Roger alluded to that. This is really where the name AeroFarms comes from. That technology allows us to miss the roots of the plant with fully oxygenated water and nutrients. And we also have an automated delivery system that we have developed and programmed specifically in-house for our growing system. So that allows us to very tightly control and manipulate nutrients that our plants are receiving in the farm. We also have genetics of the plants that are tailored for growing in our environment. And, you know, we, as Roger mentioned, lighting is a really, really important part of what we do. It's a cost, and we're constantly improving our LED lighting, and all of our lighting is proprietary for AeroFarm. So we, you know, nobody has it. And we're advancing that technology all the time. So my team is working a lot in the lighting space, trying to understand what spectrums of light we want to use to increase nutrition, advance some of the flavor characteristics that are interesting to us. And we're looking at lighting, not just in leafy greens, but some other areas that we've been working in, like berries and some of the breeding aspects that you'll hear about relative to our partnerships. So that's pretty exciting to take that information that we're learning in leafy greens and translate it over into other crops. So we grow on a cloth media. I listened to your talk with Neat the other day, and it's a bit of a different system. So we grow on a flat cloth media. It is reusable and made from recycled materials. It does interact with the plant in a very special way. We've tried so many different growth media. That's also very critical to what we're doing. So it's not just something that we thought, oh, let's try this and see if it works out. We've tried many, many different types of growth media, and we're continuing to explore this area and try to understand if there are better ways and better media to grow our plants, and whether that be every plant or for specific plants or for specific varieties. We are starting to hone in on different types of media that are helping us increase our farm productivity. So we, as you know, we've got, just like everybody else, we've got large buildings, we've got HVAC systems, but we, you know, we're always working to try to understand what precise growing conditions we want to deliver to our plants. And we are also focusing pretty regularly on the ends of the process. So what happens during seeding, what happens during harvesting. So the more you focus on end-to-end process within a commercial farm, the better you're going to get. Every little thing counts. So it's critical for us to not just look at what's happening on the grow towers with the plants, but also think about what seeds are we sourcing? How are we treating those seeds? How are we placing those seeds on our growth media? What happens to that those seeds once they get onto the tower, but then also once we bring them off, what are we doing when we harvest them? What are we doing when we package them? How are we packaging them? Are there environments that are better for us to be packaging to increase our shelf life so consumers get better quality? So there's a lot of that work. It's all happening kind of simultaneously. And we are, you know, I think the one thing about AeroFarms that, as you mentioned, is that we know is different is we've got a lot of partnerships, and those partnerships, while we're working on different plants, we're able to apply what we know to those plants, and we're also able to apply information backwards. So it's great for us to learn from partners. We have a new facility that we're building in Abu Dhabi. So I probably a lot of people who follow AeroFarms are familiar with this. That facility is going to be one of the largest R&D facilities in the world focused on vertical farming. It's 100% research. Really excited about it. We have broken ground. We're building now and things are progressing nicely. One of my team members was just there, sent pictures, and it's just like a sea of people working in that building, getting things ready for us to start up our laboratories and our grow rooms and put in our pilot farm into that facility so we can start working. So we're going to be employing local talent. We've got a number of focus areas. So plant biology is an obvious one, but we're also going to be looking at speed breeding, analytical chemistry, trying to understand what it is about the plants chemically and from a nutritional perspective, and marrying that up with sensory understanding. Automation is a huge thing in vertical farming now. So we are going to be studying the different aspects of automation in farms for both leafy greens and other farms, whether it be in the vertical farm or in aspects of the farm on the front end or the back end, whether it be seeding or harvesting. So we're very excited about that. Roger will talk a little bit about some of the other projects that we're doing relative to machine vision, but we'll also be doing some work there. So this is, you know, it's a pretty exciting time to be at AeroFarms because we are, we're committed to this research work. But I'll say that we don't do research for research's sake. We do research because we want to get to a commercial stage. Or for things that we are commercial, we're trying to improve and make those things better. So it's really exciting work to be doing. And I work with a great group of folks who are just excited about the science every day.
Yeah, I think what's a huge advantage to indoor growing and the type of things that you do is that you're already gathering all that data anyway. And when you're growing outside, you know, you don't have sensors, you know, so close, and you're not collecting all that data. So you guys Correct. Can really make real-time changes and really pick up data that, you know, is hard to do outside.
Right. Exactly.
Roger, do you want to add some to the R&D capabilities?
Let me, a few things to that. So one thing, Stacy talked about the facility in Abu Dhabi. And one of the things that we're finding is working with local partners is it's really working out well for us. So there are plants of interest in the region that maybe in New Jersey is not as exciting, but in UAE it is. And you know, we have partnerships with plenty of US universities. But I'll tell you what, so Khalifa University, UAEU, they're well staffed with some really smart people. And that's turning out to be a fantastic set of partnerships also. I'll also go further talking about machine vision. So we talked about the sensor network that's in there. And you are right. One of the beautiful things about the vertical farming is you really have ubiquitous sensors. So you can make sure that you've got sensors in all the right places to make sure that you've got a really good view of what's happening with your plants. And Stacy's team, the R&D team, has also developed different ways of doing machine vision so we can understand what's happening with the growth of the plants by looking at them post-harvest. And we've made some great discoveries that way. And now as we're moving forward, we've published the fact that we have a partnership with Nokia Bell Labs. and working hand in hand with them, we can set up systems that watch the plants while they're growing. And in addition to watching the environmental factors. So I said ubiquitous. Well, it doesn't get much more ubiquitous than watching every plant every day and watching the environment around them. Wow. And so that's already yielding great results in terms of paying very close attention to what's happening with the plants, being able to adjust our production systems, be able to adjust our forecasting when things are going better than expected, being able to marshal our resources if there's an issue that's popped up. We're able to pay very close attention to these plants, and I think they appreciate it.
Yeah. So you've both mentioned partnerships a couple of times, and partnerships and collaborations are important to all companies, but AeroFarms is much more active in partnerships than a lot of the other companies in your space. I think partly because of the nature of IP and people being worried about that, but you guys have done a great job. So what about your culture makes that so? I mean, why do you think you have more partnerships and more collaborations than some of the other companies?
I don't know that we do. I'm not keeping score.
I am.
I'll take your word for it. So when we lay out our principles at AeroFarms, collaboration is at the top of that list. And so so we have our set of principles, and so communications is important, accountability is important, respect is important, but collaboration tends to be the one that you pivot outside and helps you have a broader view of what you can do on Earth. And so one way we put it is that we want to grow the best plants for the betterment of humanity. Another way to say the same thing is we want to do the most good with our technology. And we believe that by partnering with others, we can do more good quicker. We can make sure that our technology makes an impact faster. So we think that's important to the planet. We think that's important to the company. And we look at it as kind of a way to be agile in this market. These partnerships, we look to universities for partnerships. We look to other companies for partnerships too. We mentioned we have a partnership with Hortifruit, and we talked about publicly, we've talked about blueberries with Hortifruit, and, Hortifruit has the world's experts in terms of growing, blueberries for production. They're really fantastic. And for us to take a step towards blueberries, it makes much more sense for us to partner up with Hortifruits of the world than to try to go it alone or try to hire in, because their culture has been built around how to keep those blueberry plants happy and how to breed them for, the next millennia. It's a great place to start.
Yeah. So you talked a bit about Nokia Bell Labs and as an example of the private technology partnerships that you have, and then Hortifruit as an example of your growing and kind of R&D partnerships. What other growing and R&D partnerships do you have that that is public and you're talking about?
I could talk about a few more of them. So we have been public to talk about a partnership with Cargill, where we are looking at cocoa and what we can do with cocoa plants, both growing indoors and also being able to simulate how climate change is going to affect those cocoa plants that are growing out in the world, and giving some insights a little early on, and also working through what does it mean to start a cocoa plant from scratch in a vertical farm in order to make sure that it's got the best chance of survival and the best yields once it gets out into the field. So we're looking at it from several different aspects. And Cargill and Hortifruit and Nokia Bell Labs, those are all good examples of companies that we feel see the world similar to the way that we see. So these are all companies where making a difference through technology and through investing in R&D is part of their culture. These are all companies that are looking to see what they can do to help out their customers, their consumers for decades to come. And so that's a great match for us each step of the way. Sometimes we are a B Corp. And so sometimes that's a shorthand way to go, is to talk about other companies that are B Corps. It's a quick way to say, all right, I think we're pretty well aligned. I mentioned one more that we've made public, and that is a project where we are growing hops with AB InBev. So again, this is just partnering with a company with the scale to have a good view of what's happening for the genetics of their plants, and also a great understanding of what's important for their market. And I'd love to see people's faces when we talk about growing hops plants, because they're so different than growing a microgreen. And it's another example of staying flexible and agile with our technology, and making the most of it, and seeing all these different ways we can help out.
So do you, when you grow hops inside, I mean, I've seen them outside, and they're, for those people who haven't seen hops grow, the first time I saw the setup, I'm like, what the heck is that? But you have to, it's a very long trellis that kind of goes up to this thing that the plant goes up. Can you shorten that, or can you do some internode work where the internodes aren't as long and you get more hops for stem, or is that a secret?
Well, I mean, I think, right, that they're really, really tall plants. I think there's potentially opportunity for genetics there to be more, you know, more suitable for indoor farms. But I think, you know, part of the cool thing that we do is, you know, when we start out with something, we tend to start with what other folks are using. And if you are familiar at all with that project because of the press release, and you look at the beer that was brewed, it was brewed with Cascade hops. So Cascade hops are every hop farmer grows Cascade hops. They're very, very popular flavor hop right now, have been for a while. They're tall plants, but a lot of what we do is try to figure out, like, are there things that would allow us to grow that tall plant uniquely within a grow room? So, you know, we have a tremendous engineering staff, and they are incredibly creative. So, you know, without giving away the farm, so to speak, we've figured out how to manage some of those tall plants when they get tall. And there are aspects of that are about that growing, that's about the plant. And there are aspects of about that, how do we manage the stature of the plant in the type of situation that we're dealing with. And a hop was an interesting challenge for us, but we did figure that out. And it was quite a creative solution. So it's exciting that we were able to do that. The one partnership that I'll mention that Roger didn't mention, and it's probably more related to the B Corp side of our company, is our partnership with Jersey City and the World Economic Forum. So this is a partnership related to community farms. So we are building community farms and putting them, we've committed in the first year of the project to put 10 community farms in schools, in city buildings within the city of Jersey City. And we just put our first one in. The farm was designed, it was tested, it was built, and the first one went out 2 weeks ago, and it is growing plants in a school. This is historically something that Arrow Farms has done. Ed Harwood, worked with schools in the Newark area. It was a big passion of his. So it's exciting that we're able to kind of continue that legacy in a much bigger program. I think, you know, Jersey City is just really the start of this, because a lot of people are interested in how do they bring this technology on a smaller scale to, you know, it could be many, many places. It could be inside of a cafeteria at a corporation. It could be at a grocery store. There could be a lot of places that you could place these types of farms. And you know, we're excited that the first one's out there and growing for the school kids, and they're able to learn about different plants, and they actually can do some small experiments on the growing system. They can look at turning on the lights and turning off the lights. They can change the amount of water that they're giving the plants. There's a lot of cool things that they can do to learn science while they're in school, and also grow vegetables at the same time. So that is another cool partnership that we have that I think fits really nicely with what we're trying to do as a company and a B Corp.
I love that. I hadn't heard of that. That's great. So what about public partnerships? What have you got going there? I know the PIP program that you're involved in has gotten a lot of press. So do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about the PIP program. So PIP stands for Precision Indoor Plants, and it's a consortium between both FAR, the Foundation for Food and Agriculture Research, and a group of companies. So AeroFarms is happy to be part of that executive committee in this consortium, but also BASF is here, Priva, Fluence, Benson Hill, and Green Venus. And so this brings people to the table from across the supply chain and with lots of different views in terms of where we can go forward with indoor farming, and very particularly vertical farming. The question for that PIP has focused on is genetics for indoor farms. And so even more particularly, we've announced that we want to focus on lettuce, strawberries, and tomatoes, and work on co-optimizing genetics and environment. And that's why you have genetics companies and environment companies on the same team. The first one that we've started on is lettuce, and that's working out well right out of the gates. So we're using some of our technology to speed up the generation to generation, the seed to seed time for the lettuce itself. And that speed breeding is certainly helpful to get many more generations per year into the system so that we can move very quickly towards having the right lettuce for vertical farming. But it's also helping develop the technology that can be used with many other plants in many other ways. And so I think that it is blazing a trail for a broader use of speed breeding by taking advantage of everything vertical farming brings to the table.
Great. So you told us quite a bit about R&D and kind of the origins of the company and as it got built up. But Roger, maybe you can take us, talk a little bit about commercialization strategies, like how you've thought about that. And then let's move in after that, kind of move into what the future looks like for AeroFarms and where you guys are headed.
Sure. I can start out and Stacey can jump in at any point too. So when we think about our history of commercialization, you know, AeroFarms, we started out expecting that local was going to be everything, and that was even built into kind of our philosophies at the start. And part of what we found was that, yes, people love local produce, but the quality of our produce is really what's makes people fanatical about wanting to have our baby leaf greens and microgreens. And so the R&D team works on how to drive more flavor, how to drive more vitamin content into the greens that we grow today. And so as we talk about our history, starting with baby leafy greens, that was already great, but the microgreens are fantastic. The flavor is really off the charts. It's my favorite for sure. The vitamin content's off the charts. And I think that we're seeing more and more pull for the microgreens, and for very good reasons. And so as we're going forward, we're expecting to see more and more of that. Let me just put it as we won't be surprised if more and more pull, more and more demand is there for the microgreens. We have talked about where and how we make decisions on setting up commercial farms. I think there's a few things that we made public that talk about that. I won't go into all of that here, but I will mention that we are in the middle of setting up our next commercial farm in Danville, Virginia. So if you've ever been to Danville, Virginia, I encourage you to go.
I've actually spent more time there than most people probably have. And so I can imagine it's great for the community as well. Like that's a great place to put a farm as far as giving employment to the area and just, yeah, I'm a great pick.
So we're excited about it. And I actually have up on my screen while as I'm talking to you a live feed of the construction site, and it's pretty far along. And so that farm will start out for sure with baby leafy greens and microgreens. We've also have been public by saying that we're going to go to St. Louis as our farm that serves the Midwest next. And we've published some maps that suggest a few other locations in North America, in addition to how Stacy listed out this world's largest R&D farm going up in UAE, that both the government in UAE and in Abu Dhabi in particular, and Aero Farms, we both think that this is going to be the anchor for expansion of really high efficiency vertical farming in the region.
Great. Anything you want to add there, Stacy?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to expand a little bit on the microgreen aspects and some of the points that Roger touched on, you know, relative to what is so special about those. I think it's a unique category. And as consumers are starting to look for new things as they shop the produce section, it definitely is a standout. It's not something that you typically see when you go to the grocery store. And, you know, we just launched this year 4 new varieties of microgreens. One of them is a broccoli, which is an outstanding item. And Whole Foods identified it as one of their 2022 flavor trends was Aero Farms micro broccoli. So it's gotten some great press and we're really excited about how people are coming looking for microgreens because it's not something, you know, baby leafy greens are all over the place, right? So we definitely grow those and we have great baby leafy greens, but microgreens are fabulous. And I think really driving consumers to the category and to our brand, because it's something that we do that's unique. You know, related to the flavor, if you had been following us for some time, you know that we had our greens branded Just Greens, and our greens branded Dream Greens, and our company was called Aero Farms. So this summer we rolled out a new brand, which is really fabulous. If you get a chance to take a look at it, you know, every part of the logo, every color on those packages was selected to represent both our past and our future as a company. So it's very deliberate. So it's hard to know that unless you're really inside of our company, but know that there was a lot of thought put into it. We have the biggest product window on shelf, so consumers can look at our products and see, you know, straight through that front pack part of the pack and see what they're buying, which is terrific. And we've got all these cool colors on the packages, and they aren't just cool colors. They actually stand for something. They stand for a flavor spectrum. So each color of the package represents a flavor, the flavor in the variety that's in the package. So the colors range from blue, cool flavors to red, spicy, and zesty, and all different colors in between. So when you're looking at the greens, you can see the greens, but you can also sense from the color kind of and the information on the package what you're going to taste when you actually buy them. So it's not just here's a package of greens and you're not sure what you're going to get. I'll give it a try and see what it is. You know before you even buy it what you're going to get, what it's going to taste like, just based on the cues from the color and from the other information on the package. So that's really cool. And recently we launched a Flavor Hub, So if you're really, really excited about flavor, you can go and join that group on our website, and you can get giveaways and all kinds of cool stuff and learn more about flavor and our products. And you can follow us on social media with through that Flavor Hub as well. So that's a really kind of a new marketing aspect that we're bringing to that branding that just launched this month. So we launched the brand with the flavor spectrum, and then we've got this new Flavor Hub coming right behind it to engage consumers and really educate them on flavor and in produce.
That's great. I think it's a great place to wrap up here and just really thinking about all the R&D that you guys are involved in, and then how it ends up on the shelf in these new products that everybody loves and the taste is great. And please bring them to California at some point. So thank you both so much. I really appreciate your time, and your enthusiasm about the company really shines through. So great culture. And I will talk to you again in another time. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of PMA Takes on Tech. Thanks for allowing us to serve as your guide to the new world of produce and technology. Be sure to check out all our episodes at PMA.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe, and I would love to get any comments or suggestions of what you might want me to take on. For now, stay safe, eat your fruits and vegetables, and we will see you next time.